Hey, welcome back to the show. Today, I'm joined by England and Sussex cricketer, Jofra Archer. Expect to hear about how to stay motivated while you're injured, how Jofra stays positive after a bad game, experiencing and dealing with racism, his advice to young players, and much more. But before we get started, please do me the great favor and hit the subscribe button on whatever platform you're following along on or listening on. It really does make a huge, huge difference. And it's the easiest and cheapest way to support what this show is all about. It allows us to grow the show and get on more guests, more episodes. So I thank you so much for doing that. In other news, don't forget to join The Game Plan, a free email that I send out every Friday morning with inspiration, motivation, ideas on mindset and mental skills to help your game and perspective. Simply click the link in the description below to join or head over to lewishatchett.com/the-game-plan. You can find the link in the description of this episode. Thank you so much, and I'll see you Friday morning. But on to today's episode with Jofra Archer. Enjoy. Joff, thanks for coming on the show, mate. It's awesome to have you on here.
Yeah, it's good to be here. I can't remember the last time I've seen you.
Actually, when did... I was thinking when I came here. So 2016 was my last year. You broke through into the team in 2016 here in Sussex. But you were in Sussex before years before that. What year did you come over?
2016. Maybe what, 2 years before that?
Yeah.
Maybe 2-3 years before that.
Yeah. Can you remember, like, you are a vastly different person now, like, just physically, like, you
actually, you know what? The last message I sent on my phone is 2014.
Really?
2014, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, fair enough. Like, yeah. So you're physically, you're so much different from when I remember seeing you come breaking in into the scene around here. Can you kind of remember, like, how you were as a person before you... When you turned up at the gates here at Sussex and you were bowling in the nets and like impressing everyone that was around?
It all seems like a blur now, to be honest. It was so long ago. Like, honestly, I can't remember. Like, a few memories I have in the early days was staying like in the clubhouse, like right next to the pub.
Yeah.
You know, like, even now, you look now, the pub's totally different and the house been knocked down. But you still remember. You remember being with Salty, Dan Duran, Craig Kachopa, all those guys. Most of the guys went on and they played. I think everyone's still playing some sort of cricket now. But, you know, those early days, it was just raw. Still learning your talent. Still finding your way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Did you come over with, like, thinking, I'm going to play county cricket? Did you come over? I think I ever asked you that. Like, did you, I know you were around and like that would have been something that, I guess it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, but like, were you coming over like hell-bent on, okay, Sussex is a team I want to play for. I know you're really close with CJ. Was that this the place you wanted to play?
Yeah. And even like, no, you know, I've never had the urge to leave, you know, you've come and gone, you know, most of the guys that I'd been wrong when I first started and not much of the guys left, but you know, I still want to be here. I guess because you have some good memories, you have good times. Like, I can't imagine like going into another gym, or I can't imagine training at another set of nets. You know, it's just weird thinking about it right now.
Yeah, mate, it's awesome. And also, people that might be watching the video, they might notice there's a dog in the house. We've got Griff. So
I don't know if you can see him.
We've got Griff, which is Chris Jordan's dog. But you are mad fan of dogs. Yeah. I'm a huge dog fan. The one thing I actually don't know, the breed of dogs that you have that I've seen at your house over in Barbados, like what breed is that?
The American Bullies.
Right. Okay. What are they like? What's their sort of their temperament? What do you love about them?
To be honest, they do whatever you're doing. They're not fussy. They don't need loads of exercise. To be honest, they're pretty lazy. they're chilled. I won't say lazy. They're chilled, man. Whatever you're doing, they're more than happy to do.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm just taking a piss. They're not lazy at all. And some of them can run. Like, like really long. I got one that's fairly like chunky. Honestly, she'll run the whole day for you.
Yeah.
Whole day. That's effortless as well.
Wow. Do you ever bring him over? Like, you ever thought about bringing him over?
One of them, he was born here. He's just home because I was on the road from November last year. So now that I'm back for a little while, I'll bring him back probably close to summer out and then probably send him back. Well, it all depends on what I'm doing, where I'm at.
Yeah. Yeah. So how are you feeling at the moment? Like, how's your body feeling? Like, where are you at right now?
Probably, well, halfway to bowling like normally again, I guess. I think it's just past the rehab phase. It's just building up now.
Yeah. How does it talk us through how it's felt, mate? I mean, I've been injured. I've obviously had an injury that ended my career. I know sort of how tough it can be, but what's it been like for you? Sort of getting fit, playing, and then grabbing another one. How do you stay positive? Actually, funny enough, text Patrick this morning, just saying you were coming on the show, and he was. I said, like, man, he's been through it at the moment, but Patrick came straight back and goes, and he remains so positive. Yeah. So how have you done that? How have you managed to remain positive through this moment? I think every injury or interview I've seen you talk about your injuries, you've been positive. So I'd love to hear about sort of what you're thinking and where your mind goes with it.
No, you just got to get 7 dogs. That pretty much fixes most of it. And then just going home regularly as well. So that's what I've been doing. Like, when you're home, you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to worry about cricket. You don't have to worry about media. You can do whatever you want to do at your own pace as well. So I get up on mornings, deal with the dogs, head to the gym, and then you got the rest of the day to do whatever you feel like doing. So, you know, that's the biggest thing about it. You know, you're home with your family, your friends. Like, not saying you don't have, well, don't have much family in the UK anyway, but, you know, the bulk of my friends and family are in Barbados. And, you know, that's just where you're comfortable. You know, it takes so much off your mind. You don't even realize, but it takes a lot off.
Did you ever have a moment when you've had downtime where you've, like, been constantly thinking about cricket, or have you always had the space to clear your mind by doing those things, those routines, being around family, friends?
The first few weeks I was probably injured, yeah. And then gradually it just fades away. Like, being in Barbados, you're already 5 hours behind England. So, like, if cricket's on, like, sometimes you might miss it. Sometimes you might only catch the back end. So, you know, like, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, I didn't actually think of the time zone being a thing that could actually help you out. But I saw you've actually been doing Pilates a little bit.
Yeah, I did it mostly when I had my back, because I guess with the elbow, like, Pilates is neither here nor there. But with the back, you know, it helped a lot, moving, stretching, you know, just getting the back muscles firing again. That was why I did it.
Yeah.
And like now, like, it just... So I don't go, I used to go twice a week, 2 times a week, but now I just go once a week.
Mm-hmm. Just one thing, you might want to bring the microphone just a little closer, just it might help. That's it. So when you were growing up in Barbados, I want to know who your idols were, like, which is weird enough because someone asked me this on a recent podcast. Mm-hmm. So I came back and forth from Barbados, got a lot of friends out there when I was younger. I was actually a West Indies fan before I was an England fan. I was gutted when I found out that I couldn't play for West Indies when I was younger. Like, it was something that, as a young kid.
Did you tour with Sussex? Did you play in that? You didn't play in that game at Kensington, did you?
No, not the one dayers. Like, with the pro squad, when the pros were there.
Yeah.
Nah, I was in Australia when that was going on. And that's when, like, Fidel was bowling.
I remember Fidel almost took Liz's head off.
That's it.
I remember that.
Yeah, and I think Amjad Khan was playing and Dwayne Smith hit one of the flattest, hardest sixes, I think.
What did he play for? Did he play for the Barbados team, or did he play with Sussex? What did he play with?
Dwayne was on Barbados squad. Yeah, he was playing for them. But my idols growing up were Ambrose and Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
Who were yours?
I don't really have any idols. It's different in Barbados. Like, everyone's just outside playing cricket. Obviously, you watch the guys on TV, but you never went from TV into the road and said, I want to be just like him. Like, you were so focused on just playing and trying to get your mates out and trying to bat. Like, you never really had time, though. Like, I was telling someone the other day, like, I just don't understand, like, autographs and, like, selfies and stuff. Like, obviously they people are great sports people and stuff, but back home they you just it's not something you think of. It's not something it's just not the norm.
How do you find that stuff now? How do you find like the media attention, the autographs, the selfies and things like that from your side? Because it's different here. It's different in the UK.
So now, because you're here a while, so you learn to accept it. As you say, like for me, seeing it is a little bit weird. But I think after a while, you know, like, it means a lot to the kids. It means a lot to every single person that you've signed or you've taken the picture. Like seeing them walking off and looking in their phone and smiling, or seeing the kids showing the kid next to them their signature and he's saying, oh, mine's bigger than yours, or he spent longer signing mine than yours. Like, it means a lot to the other people. So it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. But it is a different thing. Like, especially when I have been over on the island, like you see cricketers that have played international cricket and they're just sort of literally liming out around everyone and they're just not.
It's just different. It's just different. I think probably in the last couple of years, actually, you know what? I still don't think I've seen much kids home, man. So like autographs, it will mostly be their parents, but a kid in the Caribbean is hardly ever going to ask you for a signature. Hardly ever. Yeah. They might ask for a photo, but signature, absolutely not.
Yeah. I was always the thing, me and my brother, we were always like, don't be that person. Don't go and up to it. And then if I really wanted one, I remember seeing the Australian team on Accra Beach in Barbados and I was like pushing my brother, like, you go do it. But I was like, yeah, just it's a different mindset. But when you were younger, how did you develop as a youngster? Like, I know you were at Pickwick Cricket Club. So what was your, how did you sort of like get into cricket? What was your sort of stepping stone in? And I guess another question would be, when did you sort of know, like, this is something I really want to do?
Yeah, school cricket. So they all, like primary school, secondary school, they all have their cricket programs. I was lucky enough to go to a really good cricketing school in secondary school. And we pretty much won everything. We won on the 13, on the 15, on the 19. We won on the 19 twice, you know. Yeah, we had a really good batch of cricketers. My best mate, he played for West Indies on the 19s. Actually, he was probably the only, him and Aaron Jones, I think they were the only two that like played at a really high level. But the rival school was Combermere, and I think most of their boys, they played some sort of age group or pathway cricket for Barbados, you know. Like, a lot of them guys went on and played first class cricket as well. I think the only person from our year that played first class cricket was Aaron Jones and myself. The guys from Combermere, I reckon probably about six of their boys have gone on and played. So yeah, I think I knew when I was about probably right after on the 19, I had a feeling that I had a chance of being a of trying to be a professional. I thought it was good enough. I know my mum definitely thought it was good enough as well. So that was half the job already done. I just had to convince some coaches somewhere that, you know, I was worth taking a chance with.
But they didn't, you didn't stay in that West Indies setup when you were older. What was that like when they sort of said no? Did that set a fire in you? How did you feel now?
Not really fire. You see like patterns. You see, I think you get an idea of who's going to play, who they like, who, yeah, you had a feeling you pretty much knew. It was pretty obvious, you know, who the people are that they would invest their time in. And, you know, no hard feelings or anything. You know, I was a bit lucky having a British passport as well. I obviously had a British passport. So, you know, when that time came, I just said I'd just explore my other options. And, you know, luckily it was the right decision. And, you know, I'm forever grateful for leaving.
Yeah. When you came over here, I know you came really close with John Lewis and you ended up living with him. Did you live with him for a year?
Two.
Mm. Wow. Mm. John is like one of the, he's godfather for all of us here, and he's a phenomenal coach. Mm-hmm. What did your experience with him, are there any things, lessons that came out of your time there, and maybe a shift that you had from your time with John?
Honestly, not really, you know. What I would say is that he welcomed me and Dell, because Dell, we were with him for those 2 years, and we were literally part of the family. I still think his, I think at one point, because his son was pretty young, I think at one point, he went to school one day and they had to draw their family tree, and he drew me and Dell in the family tree. And the teacher when Anita came to pick Georgia, the teacher said, you know, they're two black kids in the photo. And Anita was like, yeah, no. And then she just picked up Georgia and left. So we saw it. Like, it was so funny. But yeah, I reckon George thought we were his brothers or cousins at some point for a little while. But John, we can talk cricket anytime. He was never really pushy. He never said that I had to do this, I had to do that. And, you know, it was just banter. I remember just before I played for England, like a few years before I played for England, you know, we sat down and we were looking at stats, because John was one of the first people to play T20. He was around when T20 came out.
The big old baggy shirts. Yeah. You ever see them?
Uh-huh. Wow. So I kept asking him for his figures and stuff. So I told him I'm going to play more games for England than him. I think I passed him in ODIs. I passed him in T20s. I think I passed him in tests as well.
Probably have passed him in tests.
He is adamant, and to be honest, he is right. I don't think I come close to his first class stuff.
I mean, it's mental. It's what, 680 on wickets? It's ridiculous. Like, the amount of games that he had. And
three quarter of them were at Gloucester as well. And he went to Gloucester. And I'm like, there's no way a Seamer's getting them wickets here. So
yeah, it had to be something different. Like, and he had, do you have Walsh or Ambrose playing there? I think it was Ambrose.
Definitely Curly.
I want to say it was him.
Yeah, it was Curly, but he said he speaks so highly of him as well, because he was the overseas when he was there, and I think having him there did a lot for his cricket and his development as well.
Yeah, no, I attribute so much for him around, like, how I thought about the game as when he came on the scene. Mm-hmm. He's got this beautiful blend of, and I think it's a really good, and you can correct me if you think something different with coaches, but I think coaches can have this really good blend of being hard on you when you need it, and then put an arm around you when you need it, and then have that banter when you need it, and be able to not have almost a one track mind on everything. If they're one personality all the time, it can be really, really difficult.
Yeah, that's perfect, actually. And he's got a bit of red mist when he's playing football.
Red mist when he's playing as well. He said some of the funniest things I've ever heard on cricket field.
He's the most angriest man, but also he's probably one of the slowest. Like, he's angry, but he's not going to hit you with a bouncer, is he?
No.
like, what are you going to do? You're going to blow his shin off. Like, more than lately, but yeah.
Do you ever get angry? Do you ever find yourself getting angry on the field?
I think probably the one time, I never get angry, but I think there was one time he probably nudged me. I remember when I got my hair done against Kent, and he was like, the boys are laughing at you. They're laughing at your hair, though. So he was like, you should go and show them. I said, all right, cool, no problem. Came back with like 6-7 for... But yeah, I don't really get angry.
Nah. Mm. You're attributed all the time for saying so calm, and obviously World Cup final, like, you're super calm. Is there anything that you do in preparation that helps you stay calm? Is there anything that you telling yourself, or anything you're focusing on, especially in the moment when you're under pressure?
Nah, I guess not just me, but I think most of the guys back at home are just like that. So, like, same with CJ, I don't think you'll ever see I think I've seen him upset once, and it wasn't even cricket related. Yeah.
Where do you think that comes from? Like, what do you think creates that? The culture, like, the just the as you're growing up? Because here, a lot of athletes I deal with right now, they're like riddled with fear of failure. They're riddled with the fact that they are fearing doing badly, like, and the fact that if this doesn't go right, then it's going to say terrible things about me and like who I am. And I just don't feel like you or CJ have that. So I'm so curious as to see, like, where do you think that comes from?
I don't really know. But for us, we can't ever see ourselves as failures, you know? I think we already kind of broke away from, you know, a whole different country, coming into a new country and finding your feet and, you know, doing well for yourself. So even if we fail here, it's still not a failure because we're here, if you get me.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got a lot to be grateful for. Even like now, like even the last few years haven't gone to plan. You know, I've never lost hope. I've never gotten angry. Like everything happens for a reason, I reckon. Everything happens for a reason. And that's what you go on, what you have to believe.
Yeah, people can hear it. Griff's hits the snooze button and he's already having a snore. So he's passed out, I reckon.
It used to be worse than that, but I think he's gone a little bit better as he's gotten older.
Yeah.
I actually jumped in the bed last night. I didn't even know he was there till this morning.
Really?
Yeah, you don't know. Like,
just hot as well, like dog in the bed, like hot right now. It's warm.
Nah, I got a fan.
Oh, you're right.
I got a fan. And I think you only know as well when you try to pull the blanket and the blanket doesn't move. Like, okay, he's on the bed. Yeah.
You said about like always having hope and believing. Mm-hmm. And like we've mentioned about staying positive. Right now, the England selectors like haven't, they're still ruling you into the team, mm-hmm. which is amazing. And to have not played in a long time and still have that faith put on you, how do you take that? Like, does that put any pressure on you? Do you feel like there is added pressure when they're sort of still backing you and you haven't played in a while?
I won't say pressure. The only people that only cares about that kind of stuff is the media, because then they're going to hype you up the whole time saying, the long-awaited comeback, and if you don't take 5 on return, they're going to say that you're a failure or something like that. But most of the teams, you know, they give you grace. You know, like if you're out for a while, they can't expect you to operate where you were, like where you left off.
Mm.
So like almost every single team has been really understanding, and you know, everyone's just, as I said, just waiting for me to come back properly. So, you know, You do want to come back and you do want to do well, literally straight your first game back, you want to, but sometimes it doesn't always happen that way.
Yeah. Do you think there's an element of, as you've gone older, maybe a bit more wiser, like are you giving yourself that sort of less expectation to do what, like, well straight away, or is it for you, I just want to do the best I possibly can all the time?
Doesn't really matter. A bit of that and a bit of cutting yourself some slack. Like you did all the hard work, did all the rehab, you did everything to get back, you know? The cricket will take care of itself, but the hardest part is actually being back.
Yeah. You excited about it? Like you're just feeling good now with you actually got the ball in your hand? Like,
honestly, yes. It's really, excitement's gone. Well, I won't say gone, but this is probably the second time I've did rehab and built up and come back now. So like, it's still the drive there, but I won't say it's as intense. Like, you know, like I just know that when I come back, I know if I stay on the park for 1 year, I know I'm going to do amazing. So I know I just need to come back. So I don't think too hard about it.
Mate, that's it. Yeah. With skills wise, is there anything you want to get better at? Is there anything that you're looking to develop, something in your game that you potentially want to up a little bit?
To be honest, probably just getting the opportunity with the bat. You know, I guess baseball's around now, so if there's ever a time that you might get promoted, it'll be now. But you know, I feel like I got pushed away a little bit, like performing for Sussex. Like, to be honest, like 1 year I had what, 60 wickets, 500 runs, and then going into it's hard to bat anything anyway. I just feel like I just want to get a good, just want the coach to bat me.
Where would be your place you'd like to bat?
Like six or seven, and just be given the freedom, the opportunity to say, it doesn't matter if you fail or not, we believe in you and we see what you can do, and
yeah,
just have a season there. Like, definitely in white ball, I definitely do get a chance to bat a bit higher, especially depending on the situation. But I feel like in red ball, I got a lot to offer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So would you, like Stuart Broad's obviously done, like that, obviously Nighthawk role. Mm-hmm. Do you reckon have you ever done Night Watchman? Like, have you ever come in and done that sort of role? Because there's an opportunity.
I don't want to get out.
That's the thing. I used to do it and you're like, geez, I'm a sacrificial lamb going out there. Like, but then everyone used to, and I don't know whether this was just lip service at the time. They're just pushing you out there going, mate, you last the day, mm-hmm. you got runs tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, you're probably not wrong. Like, you can bat and they'll be the top order. And I remember playing Derby here at Sussex, and like, first three wickets to go in the day with the batters and not me. And you're like, well, I've got a chance here. Sure enough, I get out next ball.
I think I did it. Did I do it once? I think I did it one single time. Actually, did I? Actually, no, I didn't. But I remember the one time I was still fairly young and I came in at like 9. Because back then, like, Jesus, CJ was batting at 8. So, like, we have a great team.
It's a strong team.
So, actually, yeah, Aj was night watch when he got out. So, we came off. So, it was next in the next day. And I remember the guy started bringing all the fielders in. And someone, because Bronie, I was batting with Bronie. Bronie was like on 60. And I think it might have been Matt Coles, you know, from Kent, when he was at Kent. I think it was Matt Coles. It was like, all right, guys, let's get this bunny. Let's wrap this innings. Let's get this bunny out. And Bronie said, I could hear him. He said, you wait a bit. You wait. And probably about 2 hours later, me and Bronie were still batting. I think Bronie got on 99, actually. Got LBW. And I came in not till I got, 60? So, like, literally, like, 15 minutes in, all the chatter went. As soon as I got a few boundaries away, like, couldn't hear anyone anymore.
When you were a kid, did you always want to be a bowler? Or did you start wanting to be a batter? Because I know there's stories of international cricketers that have ended up being bowlers. And then swap over. They start as openers. What were you the same?
No.
Or was it always bowling?
Nah, it's both. I wasn't even a fast bowler. I only used to bowl fast and tape ball. So you could bat, again. So, like, how it works back home is if no one gets you out, you bat the whole day. Yeah, you can bat the whole evening till cricket's over.
Yeah.
So literally from the time you get out, you're bowling because you want to bat again.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much how I started out bowling fast.
Have you spent, with Bazball being a big thing at the moment, have you spent much time around Brendan McCullum? Like, have you got to chat with him? And
mostly WhatsApp, to be honest. I think he messaged me like 2 days ago as well.
Yeah, right.
But since I've been injured, him and Marty, they've been in contact the whole way through.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
The whole way through. I reckon.
Is this just to check in on you? Like, just to check how you're doing? Yeah. Like, like, how you feeling? What's going on?
I felt like if I badgered him enough, I feel he would have taken me to Pakistan, because we had the pre-test camp in November last year, and it was doing really well then. It would have been a big risk taking me, because it was only a few months after being back, but I felt that if I bothered him enough, I feel he would have let me. But both of the coaches are really good, you know. Like, neither of them were around in 2019. Like, they weren't around when I was playing. So both of them have taken the jobs while I was injured. You know, it's not really, well, it is their responsibility, but it still isn't.
Yeah.
But it's still good to see that, although, like, said injured, they're still like checking in and have some sort of interest.
Yeah, there's loads of love there for you. Just real interest in how you're getting on. Look, mate, I want to take a bit of a right turn with things. And the report that came out in cricket, the ICEC report, that came out and said that there was a lot of elitism, racism, and sexism in sport.
In cricket?
In cricket, yeah.
Fair enough.
What has been your experience in coming into sport with whether it's racism or elitism?
I only had one little bit of racism in New Zealand. That was, 2019 again, I think. But other than that, I've never had anything. I don't think you would get much in the UK. It's different, man. I don't think anyone would be bold enough to do it in the UK. I mean, it definitely happens, but I don't feel that anyone would be bold enough to do it at a cricket game. Maybe football, definitely football. But in cricket, I've never really experienced anything other than what I experienced in New Zealand. And then, like, Kane sorted the situation out in a matter of hours as well in New Zealand.
Yeah.
I think New Zealand's probably the last place you expect it to happen as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is actually wild to think about, just with the culture but I think my opinion of it was the fact that I think the report, while there will be the findings will be true, that sport is only a reflection of society.
Mm-hmm.
And to say that there's not elitism, sexism, and racism in society would be false to say. But for one thing, and it's hard saying as a white guy that my experience here at Sussex, coming into a changing room with people from Caribbean, from India, Pakistan, from New Zealand, all different religions, races, I actually think cricket is one of the best sports for breaking down some of those boundaries. And I think most of the issues lie outside of the game.
That's the reason why I'm even here. You know, I was actually supposed to go to Northampton. And CJ called me the night before I got on the train to go out, and he said, I spoke to the coach and he said, come down. Because obviously I had CJ, Salty. I consider Salty Black, to be honest. CJ, Salty, Dell, Tamal. I had other mates that were playing in and around the Sussex League as well. So you felt more comfortable. Like, to be honest, Sussex literally, we had like almost like five black guys in the team at one point, you know. So it's good. I've seen Kent, they got Deebs, they got Tawanda now as well. Honestly, Tawanda should have been at Sussex. I don't know. I don't know how he ended up at Kent.
Was it Eastbourne?
Yeah, I'm telling you, I do not know how we missed him. Because he's going to be really, really good. Really, really good. But off the back of what you said earlier, I feel like sometimes as black people, we don't even want to say, even if we do experience something racist, we don't want to say it, because then some people will say it as an excuse, or say it as they can, as an easy way out, when it actually happened. Like, even I thought long and hard about even saying anything when it happened in New Zealand. Like, it literally sat down. I remembered when I got into the changing room, and I was like, should I let it slide? Like, sometimes you don't even think to take any action.
And I know you're close with, or you've spoken with Marcus Rashford, and like after that, him, Sancho and Saka had such bad.
They
were abused online.
He miss? I can't remember. I know Marcus missed, Saka missed. I can't remember if Sancho did, to be honest, because I was there.
But my point being is that they've received a lot of abuse online, and you've been pretty good at calling it out. And I love seeing people calling it out. I think if people are putting something online and they're brave enough to go and write that online.
But they never use their own profile. They never use their profile picture. Like, they're brave enough to do it, but not properly. If you're brave enough to say it, like, show yourself.
Yeah.
Show yourself.
Yeah, it's important. Like, I think it's so important people are just calling it out, and people saying, I don't know whether to just put their profile out there, throw it out there, like, make it real, like, show them what they're saying and doing. I think the way you've done it is awesome. Look, I'm really conscious of time, and I'm so thankful for your time giving it. There's a couple of things.
I think you
were. had to be that coming in at last minute.
But
even though that machine's coming past, like, best outfield in the country right now, for sure. Like, that outfield is unreal. I'm walking out there.
Yeah.
But before we go, like, there'll be young cricketers listening to this. There'll be people that want to have the success you've had playing the teams that you're playing in. What advice would you give to a young bowler right now with the experience you've got, been in the teams you've been in all around the world? What would you give for them, for whether it's their body, their skills? What advice would you give a young player?
Probably strength and conditioning is probably the biggest thing, especially now. I think I've been lucky and kind of unlucky. For Sussex, I played literally almost every single game for 4 or 5 years. So I feel like the better you take care of your body, the better your body will take care of you. So I feel like you need to put in all the hard yards outside, away from actual bat and ball, because that's the way you will stay longer on the park, and it will make you more robust. I don't know. I see some really, really strong guys, especially like cricket guys, in the gym 24/7 and still get injured. So I don't know.
It's such a unique thing, isn't it? Yeah. Fast bowling. Like, I used to wait for this machine to go by. You can never trust the cricket ground.
But yeah, well, it's just hard. I think once you find the balance between S&C and then cricket, I think that would be really, really good, really important.
I think being an S&C coach in cricket is one of the hardest things. Like, you go there, you learn all the right things to do, and then you're like, this sport is just endless.
Man,
like,
there have been fractures for... This is like 2 years. So since I've been injured, there've been so many more fractures, you know? People, and not just in England, people have been going on all over. Boomer, Carl Jameson, you know, different countries, everyone's going. So I really don't know. And everyone's got good S&C coaches and stuff. These international guys that I don't know, man. I'd like to know a little bit more about
schedule.
Probably that as well. Who knows? Honestly, who knows?
From a skill point though, like, because it's so hard to blend, get like resting, recovering, and then being able to develop your skills. I actually always say to people, the hardest time to develop your skills was pretty much when I turned pro. Like, putting in all that work early on is so important. And then when you become pro, it's like, you've got to pride yourself on recovery, like, and not being in the nets and not training because you don't want to damage anything. Mm. How do you balance that right now for yourself? And yeah, I guess, is there anything, any way that you've sort of found of keeping your skills up with rest in your body?
To be honest, I never had to. I think probably no. I think I'm at the stage where rehabbing, like, I feel like every ball that I bowl now is important. Whereas before, like, I could bowl a whole day, I could bowl an hour at training, you know? You never think about it. For me, I was just always bowling, always batting, always playing cricket. But I feel like now, I have to chill a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I definitely needed to chill a little bit. But before, I never thought that, you know, I could get injured. I thought I was invincible when I was younger. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I used to have that as well. And then I think one of the best things that ever happened to me, and I know you had something similar, was I got injured young. Mm. I got injured when I was 16. And then that was the thing that, for me, gave me the reality of, okay, my body could be something here that could let me down. I don't want it. Obviously, I've got my condition and things like that, but I don't want that to be the case. And just went and put in... A coach said to me brilliantly one day, he was like, put in the foundational work that you need right now so that you don't have to do it later on. So that you're not right now at 25, 26, 27, 28, whenever you get there, like, you're having to put in that work.
That's like the same thing you asked me earlier. You know, if there's any part of my game that I want to expand, no. Like, I did everything I needed to do. Like, from bowling wise, variations, back of the hand, knuckleball. I did all of that when I was young.
Yeah.
And literally, like, cemented it as part of your arsenal. So, like, no, and people ask if there are any balls that you want to learn, like, no, not to say no at all, but most of the slower balls or variations I do have.
Yeah.
Do have.
You said about your mindset was like, you're a bit more, every ball means more.
Mm.
Like, so even when you're in the nets, like, warming up, you're putting quality on that. And is that what you're doing
now? I'm saying I'm doing that. No, I said before, like, as I said, like, you just bowl. You just bowl, 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 bowl. Whereas, no, like, after a few injuries, you know, like, every ball you bowl now is precious and important.
It's hard to say what the right one is, though, don't you think? Like, if you were to say, back when I was a kid, if I'd put more quality on the every ball then, and maybe not bowled as much, would I have fast-tracked my progress? I think...
Hindsight.
It's hindsight, right? I get so many people who are not in the game or played sport be like, oh, well, what if you did this? And I'm like, well, I didn't. I'm here where I'm at because I've done what I've done.
That, same way, okay, the first year that I played the twos, I played 3 games. I kind of got like 4 wickets every single game. Me and Hobbsy were bombing it for the twos, and then I got injured in my back. And I'm pretty sure if I kept playing that season, I would have got a contract, 100%. Because Chops got one as well that year. And like, I think he ended up playing because I got to the UK a few weeks before him. So I played like 4 games before Chops did. So like the last game I played, Chops got like 80, like off of like 40 balls.
Yeah, great player.
But yeah, I was just say that to say, like, you could say, what if, like, you know, I could have said potentially I could have played for England a little bit sooner. If I played for Sussex my first year, I would have play first class sooner and then probably been on the radar. Like, as I told you earlier, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Everything happens
because you go the other way, like, sliding doors moment. You go the other way, you don't know whether you would have got injured sooner. Like, there's so many statistics on young players.
I could have made my debut and I could have gone at sixes and got no wickets and not played again for the rest of the season. So, you know, it's uncertainty and hindsight. So much could go wrong or so much could go right. Who knows? I don't really want to find out. I'm happy with how my path went. You know, the ups and downs, they make you who you are, because cricket is not one of those predictable games. Cricket is so unpredictable, and you know, you're going to have bad days. You're going to bowl bad balls. And I guess your dungs just teach you how to deal with them and cope with stuff.
Yeah. How do you deal with if you have had a bad game? If you've not performed the way you wanted to, what do you do?
Well, I never had a bad game twice. That's what I tell myself. And luckily, I never did. So, you know, it's okay to have a bad game, a bad day. That's fine.
That's such a good outlet to have. Yeah, I've
never had a bad game twice. And this year is testament to that. My first 50 over bat for England, South Africa. My worst set of 10 ever. I went for like 70. I barely went for 40 in the World Cup. I went for 70. And you know what happened the very next game? I had my worst figures and my best figures literally 4 days apart.
It's crazy, isn't it? Madness. I think so many kids will just focus on the bad one, mm-hmm. and then they forget what they do, because it clouds your judgment on the day when you could potentially put in another good performance. Like, mm-hmm. I'm always saying to kids, like, or anyone, like, as quickly as you think it goes wrong, like, it can go right again. There's no difference in speed at which those two happen. It could go right just as quick as it could go wrong.
Exactly. I saw that for myself, so definitely believe it.
Oh, mate, it's awesome. Look, you've been unreal, Joff. Like, thanks. And Griff snoring away in the corner. Like,
I don't think he's sleeping, to be honest.
I don't think he's just chatting, just wants to, just to get involved. I always ask people just before the end of the show, if there's anything there, whether it's a quote, a book, a documentary, a film that they have watched recently, listened to or used that potentially inspires them or mm-hmm. they found interesting.
Yeah.
Is there one that you potentially have, whether it's a book, documentary, film, quote that you love and live by, something that has inspired you?
I guess everything happens for a reason. I see sports documentaries, but I don't think any of them have really like 100% relatable. Like, they'll be bits and pieces, but I don't think I've seen that documentary that really wholeheartedly like resonates with me. But I honestly just live by everything happens for a reason. Like, I never question, you might get upset for maybe a day or two about being injured, but I don't think about it too much. You know, it's okay to feel how you feel, but just know that that's not the end. And even if it's the end, like, it's for a reason.
Yeah.
It's for a reason.
Mate, awesome. I really appreciate your time. Thanks for doing it. It's been great catching up. It's been great doing it, being able to do it here mm-hmm. as well as Sussex. So I appreciate it. And I'm really excited for what the next, I guess, 6 to 12 months is going to look like for you. And I've no doubt with the mindset that you've got, mate, you're gonna smash it. Never had a bad game twice.
Yeah.
So good luck. And again, thanks for coming on.
All right. Cheers. Thank you.